Welcome to season 3 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big topics into small bites. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Neuzel, and I'm joined by my dear friend, women's health and fertility expert, naturopathic physician Kate Namas, to break down infertility, hormones, and the whole baby-making shebang. This week, let's talk about hormones. What fresh hell is this? So the second female hormone that really matters and the other end of that teeter-totter for estrogen is progesterone. It's primarily secreted from the corpus luteum, right? In that luteal phase, that second half of the cycle. So that's between ovulation and menstruation. It thickens and ripens that endometrium to prepare for a fertilized egg, right? So this is the cushy, nesty endometrium that we want. It also inhibits ovulation so you don't have a litter, right? We are not cats. We do not want a litter. We don't want puppies. We want one big healthy baby. It inhibits the uterine contractions that would prevent implantation. And if conception doesn't happen, then the corpus luteum breaks down, progesterone drops, and then we see a menstrual cycle. If conception does happen, then the corpus luteum continues to secrete progesterone, and then ultimately the placenta develops, right? It forms, and the placenta secretes progesterone as well. So in that early pregnancy, we should see a sharp progesterone spike to help protect that developing fetus and that tiny, tiny little embryo. Elevated levels remain through the whole pregnancy, and low levels of progesterone can actually make it much harder to conceive, make miscarriage more likely, and make preterm delivery more likely as well. Mm-hmm. Another hormone that we have to talk about is testosterone. It's not just for men. It's present in both women and men, but men obviously have far higher levels because this is what we think of when we're thinking of male sexual development. Just to point out, men also have estrogen naturally occurring, and they're supposed to, right? We all have kind of a balance of the hormones. So testosterone is definitely responsible for male sexual development, growth of the penis and testes, facial and body hair, deepening of the voice, building muscle mass and strong bones, height, spermatogenesis, and fertility. In women, it is involved somewhat in sex drive, in also muscle mass, strong bones, things like that, and infertility.
Especially when we're talking about PCOS, that's where testosterone is really going to have its negative effects on conception.
Right, right, exactly. And one of the hallmarks of PCOS is a higher testosterone level in women. There's also the hormones that are secreted by the pituitary gland. And so your pituitary is this little tiny endocrine gland in your brain that basically is like the puppet master, right? It pulls all the strings in terms of downstream glands and tells them what to do. So there's two major pituitary hormones that matter for fertility, and those are FSH and LH. FSH is so in those who are designated female at birth, FSH is released steadily through the follicular phase of the cycle. So that's between menses and ovulation to help mature the eggs. And then there's a surge along with LH to trigger ovulation. Without normal FSH, the cycle just can't continue. In those designated male at birth, FSH is integral to normal spermatogenesis.
Yeah, and FSH is follicle stimulating hormone, and LH is luteinizing hormone.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so the LH also surges at the end of the follicular phase to trigger ovulation. After ovulation, it's released steadily to help mature the corpus luteum, right? Luteinizing luteum, and to trigger it to release progesterone. So in women around menopause, LH levels start to increase as the levels of estrogen and progesterone decline.
Yeah.
In the pituitary gland of people designated male at birth, LH is released consistently over time after the onset of puberty to generate good testosterone release.
And I like to point out that when you are doing ovulatory strips, those are usually testing LH. So sometimes they're called LH strips. And the reason we test those when we pee on them to see if it's time to try to conceive is because that LH surge is telling us we're about to release an egg.
So
however, there are certain populations where those LH strips don't work as well, like in PCOS, because they can have repeat mini LH surges that never lead to ovulation. And so those LH strips can be confusing for a woman with PCOS or confusing for a woman in perimenopause, again, because our LH is starting to change.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So do you recommend an alternate method for women with PCOS?
I actually recommend LH if women are trying to conceive at home and they're not doing IVF or Clomid or anything like that at this time, and they're just trying to conceive in the privacy of their own home, I will recommend LH strips along with basal body temperatures, taking your temperature every day, so that they can start seeing if they're ovulating, if the strips are lining up with ovulation, if the strips are lining up with temperature changes. And then if we see that they are not, we throw out the strips.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So I do want to talk just a little bit about testosterone imbalance, because this can happen in men and women. And, you know, we think about high testosterone picture in men, and there's this, you know, like sort of toxic masculinity, right?
They're probably pretty fertile though.
They're probably pretty fertile. Mm-hmm. But it's become sort of a buzzword thing. Yeah. It's become sort of a buzzword thing, but genuinely high testosterone in men is actually sort of rare, right? Where it's clinically high. And it's usually caused by tumors of the adrenals or testes or actual steroid use, right? So anabolic steroid use in athletes or teenagers,
right?
Who want to look like athletes.
Right.
And so what we see there is acne, aggression, excess hair growth, high blood pressure, high sex drive, but also infertility and low sperm count, prostate enlargement, and unexplained weight gain. Mm-hmm. So actual high testosterone in men is not something that you want. It's not something right. that we're looking for. When we're talking about toxic masculinity, quote unquote, what we're actually talking about is a man who's on the higher end of the normal spectrum within testosterone.
Right. Or like you said, frankly high, not someone who's just high normal.
Right. Right. Yeah. High testosterone in women actually is much the same. And this is largely applying to the PCOS population, but also there are tumors of the adrenals or ovaries. Again, acne, sometimes aggression, excess face and body hair, and usually what women notice most is excess facial hair, infertility.
Or on the nipples.
Or on the nipples, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hair on the nipples, very distressing to women. Mm-hmm. Also, infertility, irregular periods, low or high sex drive. I've seen it go both ways. Okay. And abnormal weight gain. Yep. Now, much more common in males anyway, is low testosterone. So estimated 40% of men over 45, there's approximately a million causes, right? But the most prominent are high estrogens and aging. And the symptoms here, again, low sex drive, but also erectile dysfunction, fatigue, depression or depressed mood, and loss of muscular strength.
And I am surprised to see how common it is even in men 30 plus. Yes. At the beginning of my career, I just didn't even think to look when a man was that young. And now I always think to look because very frequently it's low.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
This not just really low normal. Fully low.
Overtly low. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I agree. And I think this is really, you know, something that society as a whole needs to look into quick. and I would point fingers at some of those exogenous estrogens, right? So estrogens and phthalates and plastics and things like that are basically suppressing testosterone. But I think there's multiple causes. So
absolutely. And it requires a good workup. If a man under 65 has low testosterone, he needs a diagnostic workup. And that's why diagnosis matters even today in this episode.
We just circled back. It was great. It was a good thing. low testosterone can also be a problem for women. It's very common after menopause. And what we see is actually similar to low estrogen symptoms. So thinning hair, dry skin, low sex drive, and depressed mood.
I don't see it interfere with fertility that much. I don't know if that's your experience, but usually low testosterone in women, other than maybe having low drive, isn't leading to subfertility or infertility, but it is distressing.
I would agree. Unless it's preventing them from actually having regular intercourse, Absolutely. It's probably not a factor. Yeah. All right. I have exhausted what I want to say about hormones. Is there anything else to add, Kate?
Yes. I think we should just take this time to say what a basic fertility workup includes.
Tell me.
Because we talked about hormones so much. So a basic fertility workup is going to include a semen analysis mm-hmm. for the male partner, blood work for the female partner, including hormones, which we just talked about, estrogen, FSH, LH, progesterone. So normally they'll do cycle day 3, estradiol and FSH. Mm-hmm. They'll do a progesterone lab about 10 days after ovulation. Mm-hmm. And then they'll also run an anti-Mullerian hormone, looking at generally the health of the eggs that are left. They'll do a thyroid panel and some imaging that includes an HSG and an antral follicle count. The HSG is making sure that our tubes have openings all the way from the ovary to the uterus. And then the antral follicle count is looking at, are we ovulating and how many follicles are we bringing to the plate to mature? Mm-hmm. Which can give us some idea of where we are in our kind of fertility aging process as well.
Perfect. I think we should actually dedicate an episode to breaking that down a little bit more granularly, because
I agree.
It's a lot to process.
Lot. Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Okay, let's do that. Thank you so much, Kate. It's a pleasure.
So fun. Thank you.
Kate and I busted time today because, let's face it, we like to talk. Please watch the video version in the show notes. See more of Dr. Kate at namesnd.com. That's namesnd.com. Or visit tohealthwiththat.com for myself, Dr. Amy. See you next week.